Going to see a few of the specifics of what he did for me this morning. Let us turn to the 28th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 28. And we will begin reading with verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not you, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. I want to speak this morning on God's beginnings. Verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn before the first day of the week. The first day of the week signifies a new beginning. God is beginning a new order. We notice that the third day has now given way to the first day. Jesus declared repeatedly through the Gospels that he would rise again the third day. Matthew 16:21 says it this way, "From that time forth Jesus began to show his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day." Jesus also said in Matthew 12:40, these are a little bit different words, but conveying the same message, "As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Tradition has immortalized, so to speak, Good Friday as being the day that Jesus died. But that really does not measure up to Scripture. It is quite clear that Friday is the first day. Second day is Saturday. And then very early on the third day on Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. But Friday night and Saturday night do not comply with the criteria that he must be in the heart of the earth 3 nights. The only way you can meet that is that Jesus had to have been crucified on Thursday. And so now we are here at 3 days later as he was raised again on the third day, which once again, according to verse 1, is the first day. And it becomes the foundation for the many new beginnings that have come to pass and will yet come to pass because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a history of new beginnings. He created Adam and Eve, and then he had to expel them from the Garden of Eden because of sin and unrighteousness. After they were expelled, they bore 2 sons, Cain and Abel. Then we find out that their firstborn Cain rose up and slew Abel. Then in the 5th chapter of Genesis, we read that God really began anew. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son after his image and called his name Seth. This reads as though Cain and Abel did not even exist. The point here is that God did not try to salvage one thing from the line of Cain. He dropped it. Seth means appointed or substitute. And that's exactly what God did. He substituted the line of Seth for that of Canaan. He began anew. This is exactly the same pattern that he did where the entire creation of Adam is concerned. God didn't try to patch up the old man. He didn't try to patch up Adam. He began anew with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he brought forth a brand new creation. Then God demonstrated beginning anew for Israel. It's in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. And it says, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." A new nation of Israel was born here, and this is where they celebrated the Passover, the beginning of months for you. It is no accident, nor is it a coincidence, that the Passover is exactly the same feast they were celebrating when Jesus was delivered to the cross and crucified. And then he rose again the third day on the first day of the week. God also began Gentile times in 606 B.C. when he anointed Nebuchadnezzar as the first ruler of the first world empire. Gentile times continues down to our day, but I'll guarantee you there's a change coming Because when Jesus is placed on his throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then the times of the Gentiles will end and the time of the Lord Jesus Christ will begin. And so the resurrection is what enabled all of these beginnings. But today I want to speak on something that is much closer to home, something that we can all identify with. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We are very familiar with this portion of Scripture. And so 2 Corinthians 5 announces some beautiful truth that God has indeed given unto us. Let us go down to verse 15. I want to notice the same pattern that we have already seen here, and how that the resurrection of Christ is emphasized in these verses. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that is Christ, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You will notice it is the resurrection that is emphasized here. And so Paul says, therefore, in verse 17, if any man be in Christ, we are talking about the resurrected Christ. We have a new identity because of the resurrection of Jesus. I want to notice here in this verse, all things are passed away. That is a general term. It is also an all-inclusive term. There are many specific things that have been passed away because Jesus died and then rose again. We find out that sin is gone. Sin is passed away. God did away with it there at the cross. The flesh, or the power of the flesh over us, is gone. Death is gone. The law is gone. There are many Christians that don't believe that, and they don't claim that. But Colossians 2:14 says it this way, Jesus blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That means all the demands of the law, which was contrary to us. And he took it, that is the law, out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And so the law has been done away, although many do not know it. They still try to measure up and gain righteousness by the works of the law. And the scripture tells us plainly that no man out of all of those hundreds of years it was in focus and in vogue, not one person was made righteous by the works of the law. But this morning I want to consider the next part of this, which tells us that all things have been made new. Again, this is a general term, an all-inclusive, more than we can ever discover in a lifetime of the things that have really been made new. I want to consider today, however, only three of those things. Let us go to the third chapter of John's Gospel. John 3. This, of course, a very familiar portion of Scripture to all Christians. This is where you read John 3:16. This is where that Jesus introduced the new birth. And so you'll notice, as we find in verse 3, Jesus answered, speaking to Nicodemus, and he very abruptly said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now I want to notice that Nicodemus, he was a very reasoning man, but he hit it right on the head, because he knew that if this is going to happen, some new beginning has to occur. There has to be another starting point. And so he described it like this in verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He knew that there had to be something starting over. And so Jesus answered his question in verse 5, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so we find here this glorious pattern that we have seen earlier in this message, and how that Jesus went down into death, and he was buried, and he was raised again the third day. Same thing happens with us. We too, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we go down into death. This is the truth of water baptism. This is what is illustrated when we are baptized in water. We go down into the waters of death and judgment with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are buried with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come up in newness of life with him. We are born again, born of the Spirit, born from above. A new beginning, which becomes so very personal to us because we are indeed born again and have a new beginning in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:4 tells it this way, Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, like as Christ. The same things that are true of Jesus are also true of us. Why? Because we're in him. Because we're identified with him. Because we are one with him. And so this new life is ours directly because of the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our new beginning is because of his resurrection. Then let us go to the second chapter of Acts. This again, a wonderful new beginning. No one had ever heard of such a thing as this. And they certainly did not understand it. This is a record of the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost fell upon them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. There were many dialects and tongues present that day. And these people that were there heard these that were the 120 that were in the upper room. They heard them speak in their own languages, magnifying and glorifying God. And they could not explain it. They didn't know what had happened. Their only explanation, well, they all have to be drunk. And Peter said, These are not drunk as you suppose. And then he took them to the scripture. And he said, This is that which was prophesied by Joel. And began to tell them, to quote to them from the very scripture. But I want to go down to verse 23. Notice, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad, moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope. This, of course, the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that he would indeed be raised from the grave. He knew that God would not leave him there. He was there, as we said, 3 days and three nights, but then that was over. Jump down to verse 33 of this same chapter, and we read this. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear. It is directly because of the resurrection that these men are speaking in tongues as they are. This is the power of the Holy Ghost, and he hath shed forth this as the resurrected Christ. It is because of the resurrection that this new and wonderful experience has been conveyed upon men. This is, in fact, the beginning of the church. The church was baptized into one body by the power of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. We are one body because of the resurrection and the power that Jesus issued forth. This leads us to our final point here. Turn back to the first chapter of this book. Acts 1. Let us begin with verse 4. Jesus is just about, he has led the disciples out to Mount Olivet. He is just about to ascend into heaven for the last time. And so, in verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Once again, this is in preparation for their gathering there in the upper room for what God is going to do on the great day of Pentecost. But again, we want to emphasize, God didn't just pour out the Spirit and people spoke with tongues. This is the beginning of a new era. This is a part of all things are going to be made new. These are things that they did not understand, did not know about, though they were actually hidden in the Old Testament, as the Scripture bears out. They did not understand. Notice what the disciples said here at this point. Verse 5, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? This is what was uppermost in their minds. They lived for it. They longed for it. They knew it was scriptural. They hoped for it. And so now that Jesus has been raised from the grave, and they know he has all this power, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? You will notice that Jesus did not actually answer them in an affirmative way. He somewhat evaded the question, and yet he introduces the glorious truth of what is going to happen presently. Verse 7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. The Father had something else in mind at this particular point. And it is so very important for us to understand exactly what that is. Verse 8, you shall receive power. No one's going to take that away from you. That is not going to change. It was the power of the Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead. It was the power of the Holy Ghost that descended on all those there in the upper room, and they began to speak with other tongues. But there is power quite beyond that, that God had for them and that he has for us and purposes for that power. Notice, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. We learn from this that if we are going to be the witness that God intended me to be, I must be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I must have that unction and that power and that force, resurrection force, even within me. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in all Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. I want to notice that there is a stark contrast in the message that Jesus had given to the disciples before. You can find it in the 10th chapter of Matthew. It says in verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Go not into any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Notice the new thing. Notice the change in language. Notice the difference in the ministry. The disciples before were told to go exclusively to Israel. They couldn't even go into Samaria. Samaritans were Jews, all right, that they had intermarried with the Gentiles, and that's why they were considered to be unclean. But after the resurrection, when this new age, this new era has begun, you go, you start with Israel, but you go to the Samaritans, and then you go to the uttermost part of the earth. He added to this when he called a very unlikely man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, and he raised him up to deliver this message to the Gentiles. As you go through the book of Acts, you see things changing. There is a shift from having the emphasis on the apostles led by Peter. The action shifts to Paul, who is now ministering to the Gentiles. To the Jew first, he said, and also to the Gentile. And that is exactly what happens. And so God is doing something new. There is a new beginning after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is that chosen man. He says it this way in the third chapter of Ephesians. If you have heard of the dispensation, it means this period of time that has been marked out. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, that is the church age. It's the age of divine grace, which is given me to you, word, to you Gentiles. Colossians 1:25 says it this way. Whereof I made a minister according to, again, the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you Gentiles to fulfill the word of God. Then he describes it as a mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. It is made manifest now after the resurrection. The disciples expected the kingdom age to begin immediately. I can promise you on the authority of God's word, there will be a kingdom age. It's known as the millennium. But you see, God, who has this in his power, he inserted the church age in here, the grace age, the time when the gospel should go to us unlikely, unclean, heathen Gentiles. The grace of God reached down to us because of the rejection of Israel. I'll tell you, God is never defeated. And so he brought in an entire people when Israel as a nation rejected him. And that people is us. Get it down closer. That people is me, bless God. And I need to take advantage of this wonderful benefit and blessing, this new thing that God has done because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is important to realize here, and so many of the Jews did not. Many of the Gentiles, such as the Galatians, did not. The Hebrews didn't understand it. But when God introduced this new age, this grace age, this church age, the age of law was closed. The sad fact is that many of God's people are still trying to live their lives under the law. Every time they do, they rob themselves of the new wonders of divine grace that he has provided for us in the risen Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We need to concentrate on these glorious liberties and wonders that God has given to us in the resurrected Christ, that we enjoy the glorious blessings of divine grace. We have been blessed. All of these new things that God has brought unto us are directly because Jesus was raised up in newness of life on the third day. That is the first day of the week. The time of new beginnings. The first day of many, both for us and for the entire world. These new beginnings include the fact one day Israel will become a new nation born in one day. One day Israel will it become unheard of. Those looking on it today will laugh at it. But I guarantee you God's word promises Israel will become the head and not the tail of the nations. They are going to lead the world in righteousness throughout the millennial period. And even at the end, as we read there, behold, all things are become new. It's because of the resurrection, and guess what? At the end of the millennium, God is still bringing forth new things. As he said, behold, I make a new heaven and a new earth. I say again, there is no end to the new things that God has brought forth for his people because of the resurrection. Let's start enjoying the glorious resurrection of Jesus and all the marvelous provisions he has wrought for us, because Jesus has been raised from the dead on this first day of the week, a day of many beginnings for us.